and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We greet you in the name of the Lord. And we thank you so much for being here this morning at Living Hope Baptist Church, a church that unapologetically proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're visiting this morning, if you are watching on the internet, we want you to know that we are not trying to trick you. We're not trying to manipulate words or the stories in any way, shape, or form. We're going to tell you straight out that if you come into this service without Jesus Christ as your Savior, it is our ardent and fervent desire that you do not leave the same way. Amen, church?
Amen.
And when we do the invitation later on today, you'll have a chance, if you've never received Christ as Lord, to come forward and walk forward publicly and profess Christ. And I assure you that the entire Living Hope Church family of God will be praying for you as we do that. If you have your Bibles, the Word of God, whether in printed or digital format, all over the sanctuary, would you please hold your Bibles up in the air? Amen. Hallelujah. And please turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 6. We are continuing our current series, preaching through the book of Acts. And the title of the series is Radically on Mission. You know, there's many great benefits to preaching through a book. As you preach through that book of the Bible, topics come up, and sometimes they're downright embarrassing. Amen? They talk about church life. They talk about individual responsibility. They talk about the things that we are called to do and yet we do not do. You know, so on the one side, that's a fortunate thing, that the Word of God is there to instruct us. It cuts like a two-edged sword. And we get through the Bible and we preach what comes up. Amen? And on the other side, it can be a little bit of a hindrance, because as those subjects come up, we have to expound what's there. And so we come to one of these stories today in the book of Acts, chapter 6. And we're going to be in verses 1 through 7. And what I want you to tell you is that today's message is called Possibilities. You see, where the world sees that there could be a problem, God says there are enormous possibilities. There's great potential here. Where Satan tries to create havoc, but God says there are great possibilities there. If you're at Acts chapter 6, verse 1, please say amen.
Amen.
Reading from the Word of God, "Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint among the Hebrews by the Hellenists," the Hellenists being the Greeks, "because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples." Doesn't that sound great? The multitude of the disciples. "And said, it is not desirable that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables." Continuing on in the Word of God. "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." May the Lord add His blessing upon His word. Life can be difficult, amen? Life can absolutely be difficult. You know, we are never promised tomorrow. God does not say we won't go through difficulties, but the Lord does say, "I will be there with you."
Amen.
But friends, whatever things we're going through these days, whether individually or as churches or as a society, this isn't going to last forever. Because a day is coming like no other day. A day is coming when all of the other voices of the world will be silenced, and only the voice of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be heard. Some people hear His voice for the very first time. It's not that Christ never spoke. It's simply that they weren't listening. For them, the voice of God will be the voice of a stranger and a voice of reckoning. They will hear it once, the voice of God, and then they will never hear it again as they are cast into the lake of fire. But for the rest of us, but God. For His flock, we will know His voice, amen? Because the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. We are His servants, that we have opened the doors of our hearts and we've asked Jesus Christ to come in. And so we listen to the voice of the Lord Jesus right now in our daily lives as we read His Word, as we pray, we listen for the voice of the Lord. But the next time we hear His voice after this world, it won't be Jesus that walks into our house. It will be us that walks into His.
Amen.
And we will see our Lord face to face. Amen? Now listen to me for just a moment here. Our last two messages have been theologically difficult, to say the least. I shared with you last week that my brother-in-law had called me. We were discussing the very important theological things of this life, such as the upcoming NFL draft for the New Orleans Saints. And he said, "How was church this past Sunday?" I said, "It was great." He said, "What'd you preach on?" I said, "Hypocrites." He said, "How was it?" I said, "Quiet." Then this week he said, we spoke again about some other things. We're traveling and the possibility of visiting. He said, "What'd you preach on this week?" I said, "I preached on what we are called to do in Christ. That Jesus called us to be a witness." He goes, "Well, that doesn't sound too controversial." I said, "Well, I gave them the Greek word for witness." He goes, "Oh, what is that?" I said, "Martyr." He said, "How was it?" I said, "Quiet." Jesus says, "I want you to go forth and be my martyrs unto all the world." And so, as we come to these things, as we come to today's passage, you know, 2 weeks ago we looked at Ananias and Sapphira. Last week we looked at the witness message. But this week is another difficult passage. And this particular passage is usually used in churches at deacon ordinations to tell the church how the first deacons were called into service. However, most churches, most preachers gloss right over. They slide right past verse 1. They slide right over that. We will not do that today. But I do promise you this. Stick with me. Hang in there. Give a little grace and mercy to your pastor today. And don't read anything into it except what God has said in His Word. Amen?
Amen?
You know, we are here for instruction. Amen? I know I certainly don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers at all. You know, we had a little bit of difficulties within our household this week. But we worked it out. And Miss Ruth Ann and I, we never argue. There are times we fellowship intensely, but we never argue. And this week, you know, the last few weeks, I've been noticing that the button my suit is a little snug. You know, all of the suits I have right now. And so obviously she's changed the laundry that she goes to. It couldn't possibly be anything else. And so yesterday we went and got a couple more suits. I have an upcoming some upcoming events I have to preach at. Not the least of which is the wedding. I'm going to be doing the wedding of my granddaughter. Cheyenne, that's right, Miss Paulette, that child that all those years ago was a baby that sat on your lap in the nursery. I'm doing the wedding for her. Miss Ruth Ann says she's going to fight everything she can about crying through the whole thing. I will be doing the same. I assure you of that. But listen to me, friends. Stick with me today, and you will see a blessing that you have never seen before in this passage. Amen? So, looking at the divine word of God, look again at verse 1. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Right away, when we read that, we see that there's a problem with the early church. And the problem is growing pains. Growing pains. Do you remember going through growing pains when you were growing up? Now, for some of us, that's way in the past. But I remember when I was going from like in the fifth grade and into my teen years, it was like I could hear my bones cracking and creaking. I couldn't get up and walk across the room without knocking something over. You know, that was growing pains. But we go through spiritual growing pains as well, amen? And this church had growing pains. This church was growing like it had been shot out of a cannon. Like it had been shot out of a gun. And because of that, there were problems. Now listen, church, what I'm going to talk about here is that a growing church does not necessarily have to mean numerically growing. It can also happen in a spiritually growing church. As you grow spiritually, you will have more questions about the Word of God. Amen? You will. It's a natural byproduct of God's Word. And so today we will see four basic facts that we can apply to your life, whether it's in church life, your personal life, your family life, your work life. The four basic principles that you can apply to see the possibilities that God has placed when problems are presented. So first, our first point today is that where there is life, please jot this down in your notes, where there is life, there is growth. Where there is life, there is growth. Now, once again, looking at chapter 6, verse 1, it says, now in those days. What were those days? Well, those were the days of revival. Those were the days of the church exploding. The days of theological life. It was in the early church, and there was growth. And verse 1 says that there was not only growth, but there was multiplication. There was multiplication in their church. You know, Acts chapter 2, verse 47 says that the Lord added to the church daily. In other words, He was adding by ones and twos and families and things like that. But now we've gotten past that to where the church is growing and it's multiplying greatly. When God shows up, that tends to happen. Amen? I've shared many times that I watch probably 25, 30 sermons a week from different pastors and preachers I respect. And Pastor Moore, African-American pastor out of St. Louis, he is in this church in this beautiful, gorgeous, fine building. Giant, wonderful congregation. Looks like our congregation. It looks like what heaven's going to look like. And he said, you know, people look around here and they think it's always been like this. But it's only been like this for the last few years. He said, for 25 years, when I preached here, he said, I didn't have enough money for my salary to walk across the street and buy a Diet Coke. He said, but we never changed our message. We preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, period. That there is salvation found in no other name. And one day God just showed up. And He didn't just add to our church, we started multiplying. And that's what we're all praying for, amen? Amen. That's what we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to that day. There's no longer addition, there's multiplication. They're growing by the thousands. Now listen, guys, there's nothing wrong with a small church. We love the intimate feel of our fellowship at times, amen? And large churches certainly aren't always great. If you go to a large church, there's nothing wrong with that. If you're watching on the internet, we're not trying to steal anybody from a large church. But unless you are very diligent and being purposeful about getting involved, it's very, very hard to grow in Christ. Amen. You have to sit in an area with people that you get to know and find out if they're getting involved somewhere in the work of the Lord and then do that with them. Amen? And so large churches can be difficult. But big or small, large or small, great or tiny, we have one mission, and that is to reach lost people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Big or small, we want a church of multiplication, whether it's in numbers or spiritual multiplication. In other words, where God is clearly at work. Where there is life, there is growth. Amen. You know, have you ever heard of Pastor Blackaby? Raise your hand if you've heard of him. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard of the Bible study, Experiencing God? Raise your hand. That's Pastor Blackaby. His church was 23 people. They grew to 27 people. And they planted over 500 churches. You don't have to be big to do great things for the Lord. You simply have to be obedient to His will. Amen? And that church to this day is still way less than 100 people. Doing great and wonderful and mighty things for the Lord. Now, some people say it shouldn't always be about the numbers. That's true. But there should be spiritual growth in the church. Amen? But verse 1 clearly shows that God was interested in writing down that there was multiplication taking place in His church. So where there is life, there is growth. Verse 2. Where there is growth, there is problems. Where there is growth, there are problems. Look at verse 1 one more time. If you're there, please say amen. Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a what? A complaint. That word complaint there is really, really, really interesting. Because it's actually the Greek word for murmuring. Now, I don't mean the murmuring that we do here sometimes, where I'm preaching and I get on a rant or I go off my notes or I'm talking and you guys are looking at each other going, what did he just say? That's not what I'm talking about. That's not the murmuring I'm mentioning. Alright? The murmuring that they have here, this murmuring is not even about asking questions. It's not even about being diligent about the things of the Lord in your church. That's not what this is about. That word murmuring means a secret debate. It means a secret displeasure that's not openly avowed. You get in the drift. Say amen. So what were these folks murmuring about? Good Lord, the church is growing. Just let me say this for a second. They didn't have Pastor Larry up there. They had the apostles. What was the problem? Well, simple. There were the Hellenists. These are the outsiders. And the Hebrews, God's people, the widows in the church. And the Greeks felt neglected. That can happen, amen? And trust me, guys, I get it. I totally get it. Now listen to me. They were all being cared for by the church. They were. But they felt like, the Hellenists, the Greeks, felt like they were being treated like second-class citizens. Like they weren't quite the same as the other membership. They have the members and all those other people. You ever been to a church like that? You ever walked in the doors and you can feel this church is like a four more, us four and no more? You ever been there? If you haven't, go up into the Bible Belt sometimes. You will see it. The way that you guys here, hugging everybody and loving everybody when they come in, that doesn't happen up in the Bible Belt. It just does not. That what we have here is special. I love you guys. I go home every week and I got like a makeup line right across here. Right across here. Makeup line. Apparently all of you ladies are about the same height. So the Greeks felt neglected. Second class citizens. In other words, their feelings were hurt. Their feelings were hurt. Now listen guys, in life, things happen. And I don't believe that this perceived injustice happened on purpose. It happened because of the multiplication of the church. This church was growing at an extreme rate. The problem was that it was handled badly. The leadership was handling it very badly. And so there arose a murmuring. Listen, guys, can I just share this with you? Whenever God sets out to multiply, Satan sets out to divide. Just in case you missed that, whenever God sets out to multiply, Satan sees what's coming and he sets out to divide. See, Satan, when he sees a church that loves Jesus, a church that loves each other, when he sees a church where truth is taught and God is about to do a special work, that is when Satan gets serious about his attacks. That's when he dials it up. That's when he ratchets it up. He starts whispering in people's ears, causing complaints, discord, murmuring. Now, discussions about your church are fine. That is good stuff. It's okay to question your pastor. I've said that many, many times. If I say something that you think is out of line with the Word of God, you are invited to challenge me anytime. Say amen, church.
Amen.
My pastors, Pastor Divine, Pastor Ivan, my elders, Brother Roger, Brother Jim, and deacons, and Brother Cliff, and Brother Rennell, they are under a mandate that if they think I'm drifting off the reservation theologically, to hold me accountable for that. But you are as well, amen? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being held accountable. I'm talking about the whispering of people's ears. I'm talking about discord. I'm talking about biblical murmuring. Not just minor murmuring. I cannot believe that the pastor knows I'm from Haiti, but the air conditioner is on 70 and that fan is on right now. That's okay. I see all your faces right now. I struck a nerve on that one. All right? You know what? I've got to pause for just a second here. I'm right in the middle of my preaching and just say how blessed my heart is to see this brand new baby sitting right over here. And that baby is not Miss Mercedes' baby. That baby belongs to Miss Trudy back there. God bless you, Miss Trudy. We got a Bible for him soon. Amen? All right. All right, so back to the scripture. I had to do a shout out for that. Amen. I'm talking about biblical murmuring. Now look up here, friends. Look up here. Let me tell you what to do or how to handle biblical murmuring. Are you ready? Are you looking at me? This is the biblical answer. Don't do it. Don't do it. If you look on the screen, you'll see Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. And I'm sure Marianne was wondering if I was ever going to get here. What is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14? Do all things without complaining and disputing. Well, that doesn't sound like church to me. That doesn't sound like human beings to me, amen? Amen. But we are called to a higher standing, amen, church? Amen. In Philippians 2:14, do all things without complaining and disputing. Remember, I'm not talking about simple questions. I'm not talking about that. Why does it say all things? Listen, friends, because that kind of biblical murmuring that the apostles were going through leads to disputes, and church disputes lead to church division. We are the bride of Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We are the bride of Christ. We are married to our Lord Jesus Christ. We have one job, one, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be His witnesses unto the world. When the Lord made everything, He made everything and He saw what? It was what? Good? Very good. Hallelujah. The first thing God made after He made all the stuff was a husband and a wife. And the very first thing the evil one came after was that husband and wife. That's what Satan came after. And God hated him for that. God hates that. And listen to me. Division in the bride of Christ, God hates that. Do all things without complaining or disputing. Because the evil one is trying to sow discord in the bride of Christ. Amen? Amen? In all things we are to give thanks. Listen to me. In all things we are to give thanks for each other. Really, Pastor? Give thanks in all things? Everything? Where is that in the Bible? I'm so glad you asked. Mary Ann's just been waiting on this moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, in what?
Everything.
Everything. Here's what that means. It means everything. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God wants you to live the full life. God wants you to live the biblical life. God wants you to live a life of thankfulness. A life of gratefulness. A life of joy. A life of passion about His church. A life of passion about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's so simple, guys. A Christian cannot murmur and give thanks at the same time. Cannot do it. What else? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen, amen. Let me ask you right now, what do you have in your life right now? Think about it. Do an inventory. What's God say? Be content. Well, I don't have what so-and-so has. That's not what the Lord said to look at. Be content. Be content where I have you. Listen, friends. Murmurers and praisers of God are mutually exclusive. It is very difficult, if not impossible, to be a murmurer and come to church and praise God. Hallelujah to Lamb. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to move on here because this is getting personal. So what do you mean, Pastor? What does Scripture say? What is the biblical power? Well, Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 gives the answer, friends. The proper way, just write that down, Matthew 18, 15, or go look at it later. The proper way of handling things biblically in the church is to say to the right person at the right time in the right spirit for the right reason that something really needs to be done or addressed. That sounded so good, I'm going to say it again. The proper way of handling things is to say to the right person at the right time in the right spirit and for the right reason that something really needs to be done. Listen, guys, it could be to your deacon. It could be to somebody in a church that's offended to you. It does not matter. It could be to an unbeliever in your neighborhood. Don't just walk up and beat them over the head with the Bible. Have grace. Have mercy in your heart. Why? Because those things are biblically improper. It is biblically improper when children murmur against their parents. It is biblically improper when workers murmur against employers. It is biblically improper when students murmur against their teachers, sowing discord, and so on. Now, what am I not saying? What I am not saying is that those people are faultless. There may be big issues with the pastor. There may be issues with the parents, the employers, the teachers, so on and so forth. They may be acting improperly. They may be acting in a way where they just didn't think about what was going on. But all I'm saying is that God does not accept murmuring in His church. He does not. How do I know? Once again, I'm so glad you asked. Flip over in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll pick it up at verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7. Now, when I read this, you're going to say, good Lord, Pastor, why did we go here for that? This is a tough passage. Could have been worse. I could have went to the end of Romans 1. I'm trying to cut you guys some slack today. Verse 7. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor, what's the next word? What's that real word? Murmuring. Wow. As some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all of these things happen as examples. What am I saying, friends? God takes it very serious. He takes it very serious. When God is about to do something great, the destroyer will attack. He'll whisper in your ear to do this, to do that, to do the other. And when the attacks come, listen to me, when the attacks come, it means God is about to do something great. And Satan can't stand it. God is about to do some multiplication. Amen? And you know what? I love that. Because reading the word of God, the Lord has made a believer out of me. Amen? I love the Word of God. I love the fact that God is about to do a great work. So hang in there. Things are about to get exciting. Expect attacks when God is at work. So let me give you a biblical truth. You ready for it? Some people want a church with no problems. Let me share this with you. The only reason a church has no problems is if that church is D-E-A-D dead. And Satan already has them. There's no need to attack what's dead. It's dead, amen? A vibrant church, an active church, people that care about their church, people that care about the things of the Lord, There will be this tension that goes on within the church. That's a good thing. Hold your pastors accountable. Hold your elders accountable. Hold your deacons and your directors accountable. That's a good thing. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Marianne, I went right off my notes again. Sorry about that, sweetie. But it means that God is about to do a great work. Not only do we see that where there's life, there's growth. Where there's growth, there are problems. Our third point today, where there are problems, there are solutions. There are solutions. Guys, God always has a solution. God's not sitting up in heaven worried about things. Oh my goodness, how did that happen? How did he get over there? How did he get that in his life? God is not like that at all. Look at verses 2 and 3. If you're there, please say amen. Back in the book of Acts. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of what? Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit and what else? Wisdom. Whom we may appoint over this business." The business side of the church. God always has a solution. The apostles were so wise in this and how they addressed this because there was a reasonable, practical solution. Listen, guys, I want you to understand something. Real Christians, any great Christian is two things. Any great Christian is deeply spiritual and they are intensely practical. We know that we are saved. We are saved. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We are saved. We know on the practical side, this does not protect us from terrible times. A Christian is both of these things. Now just imagine for a moment, and by the way, this murmuring sprung up. Who was leading the church? The apostles. I take great comfort in that. If the apostles had some issues, man, I can expect great opportunities. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, guys, moving back into my notes here. So the apostles, I can just imagine for a moment, the conversation probably went something like this. Hey, guys, Peter, Matthew, John, Bartholomew, James, Mark, listen, guys, we're ministering to the widows. We're waiting on tables and distributing food. These are all good things that we're doing, but this doesn't make any sense for the apostles to be doing this. Why? Why? Because we're getting behind in our Bible study. We're getting behind in our sermon preparation. We're getting behind in our prayer life. We're getting behind in our soul winning. We're getting behind in the ministry of the Word of God. Sound doctrinal teaching. We're standing up. We're trying to preach. And sometimes we're not even ready because we're busy with other things. They're good things. They're great things. But this church, this body of believers here in the book of Acts, is operating in chaos. This is not our calling. We need a plan. And God says, one wonderful plan coming up. You need a plan? Go to the Lord. Amen. God says, here's the wonderful plan. Now pay close attention, guys. This is important. Because one of the Holy Spirit's jobs, this church was in chaos, one of the Holy Spirit's jobs is to bring order out of chaos. In the book of Genesis, chapter 2, we see that the Holy Spirit of God is moving upon the face of the deep. And the Holy Spirit of God brings chaos into the cosmos. Amen? He brings order out of disorder. And so the Holy Spirit gives the apostles a two-part plan. Part one is scriptural ministry. Look at verse 2. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." Scriptural. Scriptural ministry. Their job is the ministry of the word of God. Amen? And then they go to the spiritual ministry. Jump down to verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to what?
Prayer.
And what else? The ministry of the Word of God. My sermons do not begin until I have prayed long and deep. I do not take this pulpit unless I've been in that prayer room. No pastor will ever preach from this pulpit that they haven't been in that prayer room before service. No pastor. It doesn't matter who comes here as a guest. They will go into the prayer room. Our prayer, our sermons are going to be bathed in prayer. Listen, friends. What I am saying, what the apostles were saying in the Word of God, is that the best thing that I can do as a pastor is to be totally, completely, 100% ready to preach on Sunday. And if I am not completely ready, then what good am I? I'm just some guy up here flapping his lips for nothing, for no reason, giving platitudes, giving feel-good things, tickling the ears, as Scripture would say. A wise man once said, Dr. Adrian Rogers, a preacher who's always available isn't worth much when he is available. You get that? A preacher that's always available is not worth much when he is available. Now listen, guys, I believe with all my heart the man of God has to be alone with God and the Word of God, studying, pouring out his heart to God in prayer for his flock, so that as I pray for the flock, I get a word from the Lord for this flock.
Amen.
That is why this church does not have lexicons here. We don't have things that we read on each day of each Sunday of the year. We don't do that. That's not what this flock needs. The Lord opens up my heart through prayer and says, this is the message you need for this week. Period. End of statement. Some churches have all kinds of programs. Their people are doing all sorts of wonderful things, great things, good things, kind things for the community, for their others. And yet their biblical knowledge is dust deep. I love to believe that you guys aren't like that. I am astounded at your theological depth sometimes. Astounded. I think to myself, wow, they listened. You know, I get things said to me, Pastor Larry, I loved that message last week. See, I never ask them what part they liked the best. I just like the fact that they love the message. Listen, guys, church activity is no substitute for being close to God. None. It's no substitute for the closeness to God that the Word of God brings. I'm going to say that one more time. Church activity is no substitute for the closeness to God that the Word of God brings. And after studying these few verses this week, I have so much respect for the apostles. The apostles decided the people needed physical food from the deacons, but they needed a biblical square meal from the apostles. That's what they needed. Listen to me, church. And I want to share my heart for just a second. I may have let some of you guys down in the past. And if I didn't to you already, trust me, it's going to happen in the future. There's going to come a time you're going to be upset with your pastor. It's going to happen. Pray for me, amen? I'm just a man up here trying to follow the Word of God, trying to do the very best that I can. I get it. Some sermons can be very difficult. But at Living Hope, difficult or not, we pastors are going to devote ourselves to the ministry of the Word of God.
Amen.
You can take that into your heart. You can come in here every single Sunday and know that we will be preaching, Thus Saith the Lord. Amen. Give God praise in His house.
Yeah.
That will never go away. So if you're upset about that, you're going to have to be upset. We're not here for any other reason but to declare the Word of the Lord, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because when any of us pastors have to face the Lord at the end of every single day, there is no place to hide if I've been unfaithful to His Word. There's no place to hide. Every pastor goes before the Lord. Every preacher goes before the Lord at the end of every day. And if you don't, the Lord will wake you up at 2 a.m. in the morning. And at 2 a.m. in the morning, there's no hiding who you are. The house is quiet. And the Lord says, have you been faithful in my word? So what is the solution to our problems? It's found in the Lord's Holy Bible. It's found in the Word of God. Acts chapter 2. Physical needs. Acts chapter 6 verse 4. Spiritual needs. Now let's get to the last point. I'll be here just briefly and then we're done. Where there is a God-given solution, there is even greater growth. Did you get that? Where there is a God-given solution, there is even greater growth. Look at verse 7 in the book of Acts chapter 6. Verse 7, if you're there, say amen. Then the word of God spread, and the numbers of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Okay, Pastor, so what? So what? Really? You guys been sleeping in chapel? Look, verse 1 says that the church was being multiplied. Amen? Amen? What does verse 7 say? It was being multiplied greatly. What happens when you take care of the physical needs of the church and the spiritual needs of the church? You go from multiplication to God just cuts loose. God multiplies greatly. They're growing faster than ever. Why? Because they met a problem and they solved that problem in and for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why. That problem was caused because God was at work, Satan was on the attack. And when it was biblically addressed, but God. But God shows up and we see some Holy Ghost power at work. Now you young people may not have heard that in a while, but we can see some Holy Ghost power. I bet that became a shouting church. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Psalm chapter 4 verse 1 says, "You have enlarged me in my distress." Now why would I mention that in this passage? Let me read that again. "You have enlarged me in my distress." Simple. God grows us. God stretches us in our distress, in our times. Growing pains are natural. Growing pains are healthy. Because every problem that is met in the name of Jesus, and every problem that is solved in the power of the Almighty God, and every problem that is given over to the power of the Holy Spirit of God, will cause you to grow. We'll come, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Give me 30 more seconds and we're done. Do you know why that early church grew by the thousands and thousands like it did? Because every time Satan attacked, they went to God and God counterattacked. Every time Satan attacked, they went to God and God counterattacked. Because they let their problems become God's problem. And when my problem becomes God's problem, it's not my problem anymore. Hallelujah. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The battle is the Lord's, said Joshua. The battle is not mine. I have given that problem to the Lord. And friends, listen. When your problems becomes God's problems, and God's problems becomes God's path to growth, to greater and greater and greater growth and multiplication, then all of hell cannot stop a church that keeps its eyes and its heart focused on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Can't stop it. I thank God for Living Hope Baptist Church. We might look small to the world, but we got a big God.
Amen.
And all God's people said,
amen.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as our praise team comes, I just want
to...
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.